The first reading today is from John chapter 15, and this can be found on page 1083 in your church Bible. We start at verse 5, and then we'll move on to verse 16. So John chapter 15, starting at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then moving on to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. And the second reading is from Romans chapter 12, and this can be found on page 1139 in the Bibles. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Living sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen, and thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
So we are in week 8 out of 10 in our prayer series for the summer. This week's sermon is titled, Life with God, Your Will Be Done. This week, we're going to be diving deeper into something that Josh actually touched on last week. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Does praying in Jesus' name work like a genie in a bottle? Do we just get whatever we want if we have enough faith? We're going to look at a couple passages of Scripture to help shed some light on this, in John 15 and Romans 12. But first, we're going to start out with John. Now, you may recall that we actually have already preached on John 15 in our sermon series a few weeks ago. But much like prayer itself, this passage in John is multifaceted. It has many different dimensions, and we're going to be looking at a new one this morning. So I want to get right into it, into verse 7, because I think this prompts a lot of our questions and makes us wonder what Jesus is talking about. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now I wonder, what in the world is Jesus saying here? It almost seems like he's just giving us free license to ask for whatever we want and saying, yeah, I'll give it to you, just ask me. He promises that he'll give us what we want. Is that what's going on here? I think the answer to that is both yes and no, and we're going to get into that this morning. If you notice, the promise that Jesus gives here is actually conditional on our abiding in him. Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, why does Jesus give this condition to this promise? I think it's because the prayer that Jesus is talking about here is not just about us getting what we want if we have enough faith. If that were true, then that would make prayer all about us. If we turn to Romans, to our Romans 12 passage, I think we actually see a different posture of prayer. In verse 1, Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We see a different posture here. Paul's talking about a posture of presenting ourselves to God as living sacrifices, giving ourselves over completely to God's will. This kind of prayer is a position of submission to God and to God's will. And Paul says that this kind of prayer is pleasing to God. In his words, it's holy and acceptable to God. And Paul continues on in verse 2. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, our human default is to be conformed to this world, a world that, as we know, is broken. It's ruled by sin and death, and we see that all around us. Even our own natural desires and our inclinations are often in contradiction with God's will. But as we enter into relationship with God, something happens. We begin to undergo a transformation. Paul calls this the renewal of our minds. God begins to reveal his will to us, that we can test and discern and know what is the will of God. Our will actually begins to fall in line with God's own will for us and our world. Now, what does that mean? I think turning back now to John 15 will help shed some more light on what this transformation is all about. In verse 5, Jesus says the following, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Something happens to us when we abide in Christ. We begin to bear fruit. Jesus even says much fruit by his power. What is this fruit? Jesus continues on in verse 17. He says, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." Love is the fruit that Jesus is talking about here. Love for God and love for our neighbor lived out in our lives. As we abide in Christ, as we are in relationship with him, Jesus actually begins to grow his own love in us for God the Father and for our neighbor. Now we see in verse 7 that Jesus says, "Whatever we wish, we can ask him." The thing is, as Jesus' love grows in us, he begins to reshape us. Suddenly, whatever we wish actually starts looking a lot more and more like what God wishes for us and for our world, for our neighbor. Our prayers actually start to fit in to the redemptive work that God is at this moment doing in our world, in our lives. It's as if Jesus is saying here, "If you abide in me, you will be transformed. My love will start to grow in you. Your desires will begin to fall in line with my own desires. Your prayers will begin to fall in line with what I am doing in the world. And I will answer your prayers." 1 John 5:14, we have this promise. If we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. That's something that we can trust in as we bring these desires to God. Now, if Jesus is really just talking about praying according to God's will, according to his will, praying for what he is doing in the world, I wonder why he puts it this way. It seems like kind of a roundabout way of asking us to pray according to his will, saying for us to pray whatever we wish. It seems almost misconstruing what's going on here. But I think there's something deeper going on. I think God actually wants to conform our desires to his own. See, prayer isn't just about what I want or what each of us wants. That kind of prayer would tend to be selfish, self-centered. But neither do I think that this kind of prayer is only about what God wants in a detached way. That could easily become passionless, could become legalistic. We would just be dragging our feet through the Lord's Prayer of his will be done without actually even really wanting that to happen. I think a faithful prayer is actually what both we and God want together as he transforms our desires. God actually wants us to be able to pray for his will to be done with our whole hearts. And God is transforming us and renewing us so that we can do that, so that we can pray faithfully. Now, our prayers of petition are not a bad thing. I don't think it's bad for us to bring our desires to God, bring our petitions to God with prayer and thanksgiving. But in addition to these prayers of petition, God is inviting us into a transforming, renewing relationship. In this relationship, we're being transformed from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. Our petitions are actually beginning to fall in line with what God himself is doing in our world right now. Now, why should we want this? I think it's actually cool. Jesus, he says this to us in verse 11. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." This isn't just a passionless, heartless thing. In this new God-led prayer life, as our prayers become a part of what God is doing, we find a joy that we've never known before, a full and a complete joy in Christ. From union with him, Christ says that his own joy is actually going to live in us. There's nothing better than this, than direct relationship with God, Christ abiding in us as we pray according to his will. So if this prayer is happening in the context of our relationship with Jesus, as we abide in him, as God renews our minds, we're going to need to know how that works. How do we abide in Christ? How does God renew our minds? Jesus actually tells us a few things about how this works in the Gospel of John. He says in chapter 15, verse 7, that if his words abide in us, part of abiding, I believe, is actually letting the word of Christ abide in us, dwell in us, remain in us. This is something that happens as we begin to study Scripture. Christ's word actually takes root in our lives and becomes a part of who we are. It's not just an external thing. God writes it on our hearts. As we read and study, God himself is actually using Scripture to renew us, to transform us in Christ's image, and to make us more like Jesus. So word, also sacrament. In chapter 6, verse 56 of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Part of abiding in Christ is letting the body and blood of Christ abide in us. This is something that happens as we take communion together, and we're going to do that later in this service. When we eat the bread, when we drink the wine, the Holy Spirit is actually at work bringing us into communion with God himself, uniting us with Christ and renewing us according to his image. Not only this, but also baptism. In John 1:32, we have John the Baptist witnessing Jesus' own baptism. It says, "And John the Baptist bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it abided on him.'" Part of abiding in Christ is being baptized into Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit who abides in us. This happens in the sacrament of baptism and the life of faith. When we're baptized through the work of the Holy Spirit, our old selves are actually crucified with Christ, and Christ himself, Jesus, comes alive in us. This is renewal in Christ. So we have word and we have sacrament. We also have love. In verse 10, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." In verse 12, he gets specific. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Part of abiding is holding on to Christ's commandment of love. As Christ's commandment begins to take root in our lives and guide our lives, we continue on in his love. It's not earning his love, but it's living life in communion with God, loving our neighbor as ourself. I think there's an important note to hear at this point, too. I had a former mentor and professor, actually my chaplain back at Whitworth, who had a really helpful illustration for what it looks like to abide in Christ, to take word and sacrament. He talked about it like a sailboat. He said, when you go out on a sailboat, you have to open your sail. You have to tie the knots. There are things that we do when we go sailing. But if you guys know how a sailboat works, if the wind's not blowing, you're not going anywhere. It's actually the same way with abiding in Christ. We have a God-given role. God is calling us to himself through word, also through sacrament, through loving our neighbor. But just like the sailboat, it's not these things in themselves that are going to bear fruit in our lives. They're going to transform us. It's actually God himself meeting us in these things through the Holy Spirit that begins to transform our lives. As we pray with God-centered petitions for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done in our lives, in our neighbor's lives, in our world, we'll begin to see our prayers answered in a new way. In verse 7, we have this promise. Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for anything you wish and it will be done for you." It will. Why? Because as we're being submitted to God and transformed in his love, our prayers of petition are falling in line with his work in our world. in this transforming relationship with God, we get to participate through prayer in the work that God is doing for his kingdom. When we pray in Jesus' name, according to his will, we can be confident that he will hear and answer our prayers. See, the thing is, God is going to accomplish his purposes in our lives and his world. There's no question about that. It's a certainty. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 11, Paul puts it this way. He says that God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. God is in control. But he wants us to actually play a part in his purposes. He's inviting us into this by praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Kemene, as in heaven. In St. Anne's Episcopal Church, in Kemene Parish Church, as in heaven. At Alehouse Wells, at Kemene Primary, at Kemene Academy, as in heaven. At Littlewood Court, at the Grove Care Home, as in heaven. In my friend's life, in my family member's life, in my own life, as in heaven. God is at work in all of these places, right now at this very moment, the living God. And he's actually inviting us to be a part of that through this prayer. God is at work in these places. In conclusion, God is drawing us into a prayer life that is bigger than just us. It's bigger than just our own isolated wants, our own isolated desires. Jesus is actually inviting us to pray in his name, to pray according to his will for us and our world. He's drawing us out of prayer that is only self-centered and into a prayer that is centered on him and what he is doing. As we abide in him, as we are renewed by him, he's conforming our desires to his own, conforming our will to his own, and inviting us through prayer to join him in his redemptive work in our world. So let's abide in Christ today through word and through sacrament. Let's pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Amen.